Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Trying to see if Jake's trolling me here.
Well, was there another game last night we didn't hear from?
Yeah. I think so. So.
You wanted highlights from that Texas TCU
game? Unique choice not to have any Mizzou in the intro. And their win against Georgia, but that seems odd.
Drake told me last week that you enjoyed not having any Missouri highlights before the show.
Apparently I do, because it's a recurring theme, but no. No, I don't enjoy that, but Missouri played last night too, and they had a really nice win at home against Georgia. So
interesting.
Was it just not available? Did they not put any Konzo or ESPN2 highlights? That just, you actually just hurt my feelings. I was excited to hear what you're going to have in there. But, all right. As you heard, K-State wins last night over, I don't know who they play.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. All right.
Got that big matchup
for you, though. It was. They squeaked by Oklahoma State, so good for K-State. Barry Brown was awesome. I did not watch the game because I'm a revelation to the show. I'm a Mizzou fan, so I was watching the Mizzou-Georgia game. And they won, too. So good night for the local schools. Kansas State gets a win over Oklahoma State. Barry Brown dropped 38. Oklahoma State, you know what? They fought hard. So this is the bottom half of the league between what we saw from Iowa State at KU the other night, and then you toss in Oklahoma State, looking good. I guess it's one thing to get a moral victory. I'm sure those schools are not happy with it. They'd rather have wins. But they did come away with a decent performance. I mean, I did watch a little bit of it. It started an hour earlier than the Mizzou game. And so, and it was good. It was an entertaining game while it lasted, but Barry Brown was the star last night with 38 points. Awesome performance from him, 12 of 17 from the floor. Oklahoma State couldn't do anything with him. And despite that, it was still a pretty tight game, 86-82 for K-State. So they even their conference record to 2-2. They're 12-4 overall. And Oklahoma State falls to 1-3. But again, Oklahoma State looked decent enough, looked good enough to where you think they might pull an upset or two in the conference season. They're not going to be a tough out. Iowa State with a couple of overtime losses and a good performance, a good tough performance at Kansas. You think maybe they're going to be a thorn in someone's side, maybe a couple of times from now until the end of the year. And then, as you mentioned, the game of the night was Texas and TCU. The entire storyline around the Texas and TCU game was, I mean, it just sucks. Just a terrible story from Texas basketball. If you hadn't heard earlier in the day that that one of their players, Andrew Jones, diagnosed with leukemia. And so it was a very emotional night in Austin for the Longhorns. You could tell how desperately they wanted to win that basketball game. Not that TCU didn't want to win, but I mean Texas was playing for their teammate, and they won in double overtime. And then if you saw the emotion of Shaka Smart and how I'm just how happy that they were able to win, but also you could tell how emotional he was just thinking about his player as teammates held up his jersey and they celebrated and dedicated that win to him. And then Bob Huggins tweeted out a very nice message last night talking about how fortunate he is to coach young men and coach basketball. And now basketball, college basketball is a fraternity, doesn't matter. He said, although the basketball community is a very large brotherhood coming from different conferences and wearing different school colors, we all stick together. I believe I speak for everyone when I say to Andrew, along with his family and the Texas men's basketball program, you're in our prayers, and we are here if you need anything. Basketball is just a game. Family, blood or not, overshadows everything. So that was a message that was tweeted out from Bob Huggins last night. So I retweeted that if you want to check that out, at SSJWHB. Bob Huggins, good follow. At Coach Huggs is his Twitter handle. And so it was very emotional. Very entertaining game. And you know what? A big win for a number of reasons. Just obviously in the standings, Texas needed a win. And they were able to beat a good TCU team. We think TCU is pretty good. But now TCU's, what are they, 1-3 in the conference now, all of a sudden? This conference, the Big 12 conference, will be unforgiving. I don't know if there's going to be, look, when you lose Iowa State or if you lose Oklahoma State, you're going to feel bad. It's going to look bad in the standings when you look at the record of those teams. But there's no easy outs. There's no pushovers, it looks like, in the Big 12 this year. And you know, TCU losing to Texas, on paper, maybe that doesn't look great, but Texas is giving some teams a scare. Texas is not a bad basketball team. They've got talent, and they were playing with a tremendous amount of emotion, and still TCU took them to double overtime last night. And so I think they had a lot to say. That it says a lot about the strength of the Big 12, and that was the game of the night, 99-98 in double overtime. Good Lord. And so that sets up a huge Saturday when TCU's playing Oklahoma and K-State's playing Kansas and West Virginia's playing Texas Tech. Those are the three big games right in a row, 11 a.m. for the Sunflower Showdown, noon for TCU and Oklahoma, and then one, West Virginia and Texas Tech. And so sit down, pop your popcorn, and get ready to watch. And at one point, maybe you've got all three going on at the same time. I don't know how you're going to handle that. Maybe Kansas State, Kansas going right down to the wire, and then you can't change it. I know you don't want that. You're hoping you can turn that off to tune into West Virginia and Texas Tech.
Well, if it goes right down to the wire, you know, just get it to Sfi. Let him.
That's your go-to guy now, huh?
Let him take it to the basket like he did last year against K-State. No. You know?
Mm-mm. Do you think if he did that again, he would get called for traveling this year?
I don't know.
Or not?
I don't know.
Right.
That would be speculation on my part.
I guess that's something that successful coaches, what do they say? If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it.
Right.
So if he's got a path to the basket, and we can just, you know, take that Euro step and get to the hoop, then why not? Why not take advantage of those opportunities afforded to you by the officials?
Maybe even a couple Euro steps, whatever it takes.
Whatever.
I think that those games roll right into the NFL playoffs, too. So it's going to be a fun
playoffs
Saturday.
Yeah, I had mapped out this whole day that I had planned because Richie St. John and Minor Rewind play up in St. Joe. Mm-hmm. And I was going to watch the Chiefs and Patriots up in St. Joe. Mm. And then he doesn't hit the stage till 10. Mm-hmm. And I had something to watch like every single hour.
Yeah.
Playoffs. Something to do. We have that highly sought after 8:40 a.m. tip off for a doubleheader of third grade girls basketball.
Yep.
A lot of people, a lot of dads, a lot of coaches demanding to get that 8:40 tip off.
Yep.
For the third grade girls basketball team.
Get up early on a Saturday. That's what you're looking for.
You know, I won the lottery on that one. So the girls are going to be very excited to get up and play some, you know, get up at 7 a.m. and get ready to play some hoops for that 8:40 tip off. And so we were going to have that. And then all this great Big 12 basketball action I was going to keep my eyes on. And that was going to get me right into playoff game number one. Mizzou and Arkansas was going to be at 5 o'clock.
Ooh, that's the, what do they call that?
I mean, it was all staggered.
Yeah.
And so then I'm at, and then 5 o'clock I'm watching Mizzou, Arkansas. And that takes me right into what I believe to be Chiefs Patriots. So, I mean, as you can see, that's a full day.
Right.
And then Chiefs-Patriots to Richie hitting the stage at 10 o'clock. Wow.
What else could you want?
That's why I literally had to get a 2018 planner to figure all this thing out and to make sure I've got an opportunity to.
You had every minute accounted for.
You know what, though? About 3 or 4 hours freed up for me, right in there.
Yeah, that happened.
Right in there, I got it.
You're not so interested in the Titans Patriots.
I don't know if I've even heard anyone say that game, say that matchup out loud.
Yeah, I was.
I don't even know. That's the first time I've actually heard it. No, I'm not. No.
I was in the car last night listening to A10, and they were doing NBC Radio. I was like, Amani Toomer.
No. I don't know if it's.
Nope. I was close.
I think your first guess
Amari
was
Cooper,
closer.
Amani Toomer, you know, somebody.
It's not a tumor.
They were talking about the game.
It might be a tumor.
They were talking about the games this weekend, and they were just like, Titans, Patriots.
Was it real
Nobody
exciting?
Wants to watch that.
Did you sit in your driveway and unable to leave until a commercial break?
It was riveting.
Because you wanted to hear every single aspect of that matchup. All the breakdown. Give me some more.
No, but that was their point. Was like, you look at these games this weekend. Apparently, the wild card games, the ratings were down over 10% from last year. And they were just talking about how they don't think it's going to be much better this round, and especially that game. Like, God, that game just has nothing.
Do you want Tennessee to win to make it seem less embarrassing that the Chiefs lost to them, or do you just want Tennessee to get their ass kicked?
I would like Tennessee to win because I don't like the Patriots, but it won't make me feel any better as a Chiefs fan whatsoever if they do win. It'll make me feel worse.
I want New England to win because one particular person, for some reason, that continues to harass me on Twitter with things about Marcus Mariota and how great the Titans are and how the Chiefs are terrible. And, like, one person has now turned me against that franchise, which I was like, I didn't really care either way about Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was like this one guy, like the one avid Titans fan in Kansas City that listens to us, like, responds to everything. With, you know, I'll tweet about Mizzou basketball and he'll like send me something about Mariota.
I'm glad after watching all 15 of those interceptions this year, he still loves him.
So I got really irritated. So I said, you know what?
Yeah.
Screw you, Tennessee. And also, I like it. And you know what? It might not happen. Who knows? Now they're talking about his Achilles injury affecting his performance. Speaking of Tom Brady. But you know, I've been a long, long time participant in the Brady versus Manning feud, and I just everything he does now just continues to bury the forehead, and so that's what I want. I want him to keep, you know, winning that argument forever. And I'd like him to catch some of Manning's stats because my dislike for Peyton Manning is still there.
My God, what angel put you on earth? The quarterback, the New England Patriots.
It hasn't gone away. And now I feel like he's going to be, it's inevitable that he'll be in the Monday Night Football booth. And so in some way, the NFL will force feed more Peyton Manning to me when with commercials and everything. I feel like I've had it. But now I think it's going to be even more now, you know. I think there's a good chance he could replace Gruden.
Oh boy, I didn't hear that.
I just feel like that's the way it would go because I was thinking about like who would I like to replace Gruden on Monday Night Football, and I was thinking of some names, and then I thought who would it just be terrible for me to where I would have a hard time watching Monday Night Football, and the number one person on my list would be Peyton Manning. There would not, and I'm sure he'd be a fine analyst and everything else. But
you just don't like
it. Yeah, there would be. I can't imagine anyone that legitimately would have a chance at the job that would. It would make me hate watching Monday Night Football more.
Yeah.
Like who would it be?
Skip Bayless? I don't know.
No, I think I'd rather hear Skip Bayless.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
John Elway would be the only person I could think of.
Yeah. Yeah.
God,
that's a good one.
You really, I mean, I didn't mean to troll you.
That's a good one.
You ran down your Saturday and it sounds sad. Now, no Chiefs.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people were
right. No,
it, right?
I think you're right.
Me. I mean,
I just feel bad
because it was a Saturday night
that you run down that whole day, and I trolled you to begin with.
But, so. but that's it's not just me. You didn't take a peek when you saw the schedule and you saw it was going to be the New England's going to host the Saturday night game.
Saturday night.
You didn't start to at least make some preliminary plans.
Yeah.
Okay. So how many are you going?
I didn't
do this. I was ready to roll. I was, you know. I'm not saying I thought they'd win that game, but I was starting to, you know, hey, we got to kind of leave that open, Sue, because the Chiefs probably playing the Patriots. I mean, you got to make these plans. Those plans are no longer valid.
No.
Is my point. And so now when I hear about it, it saddens me. So maybe I need another round of playoffs before I just get this done. Get this out of my system. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I didn't have much interest in the playoffs the rest of it yet last weekend, and I'm having a tough time generating a lot of excitement for myself for this round.
The Jacksonville Buffalo game was horrific to watch.
Oh.
And the quarterback play was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was awful. And I was out at Arrowhead anyway, waiting to talk to players, and so I was kind of watching it. I'm like, boy, I'm glad that I can do something else and not sit and watch this, because this is terrible. But then I enjoyed watching the Saints of the Panthers. That was
good.
Too.
Yeah, no, it was a good game.
That
but
was a good finish.
I didn't enjoy watching it. It was a good game, but I did not enjoy watching it.
It kind of let me go. Like, hey, let me watch, you know, these two franchise quarterbacks that have gone to the Super Bowl. So you let
MVPs.
Let me look at something that
I think that was part of the reason I didn't enjoy watching it.
You know?
It was like a reminder of what I don't have, you know?
It was somewhat therapeutic for me to sit and watch. And then I kind of got caught up in it. Because it was a good game. Good, compelling finish.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Falcons-Eagles is going to be a good game. I actually think the Jags can give the Steelers a really good game. We know the Jags beat up on the Steelers once.
There's a chance the Falcons-Eagles will not be a good game.
Yeah, that's true.
This is all riding on Nick Foles. He could make it a good game, but if he poops the bed, it could not be a good game.
I suppose the Eagles' defense can try to make it a good game, too.
Right. But,
I mean, it's only a 3-point spread. That's the closest spread of any of the games.
Well, it's all in Nick Foles, though.
Yeah. I think Saints and Vikings would be a really good game. I am looking forward to watching that. But I just, the Patriots-Titans thing, I just...
There's a chance that the Titans make it close. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's the
chance,
NFL. It's football.
That's true.
And I think most of the country will be rooting against the Patriots. And, hey, this upstart underdog Tennessee, they went into Kansas City and upset everything. And now let's see him. Marcus Mariota is a likable guy, kid. There's no reason to dislike or hate Tennessee unless they just ripped your heart out of your chest. Right. I mean, like, who else? Like, if you are somewhere else, you're rooting against the Patriots, most likely.
Sure.
Unless you're a Chiefs fan and you want just everyone to lose. Like, I want everyone to lose.
Yeah.
I want every team to lose.
Yeah.
I want every fan base to lose. There's no one that I want to win.
Right.
There's no one I actively want to win.
Right.
I want Brady to win just to further my own personal agenda. That's about it. But I don't care if New England wins. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm rooting my ass off for Nick Foles.
Does he?
Yeah,
personal agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You
got
to find a personal agenda.
To perform well, to further your personal agenda.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely, that's good. That's right. That's absolutely right.
I think it'd be cool to see Minnesota play the first home playoff or home Super Bowl. I think that'd be cool.
I think I guess the only personal agenda I have is I want to see Eric Satolovich, my high school buddy, who's an assistant coach with the Falcons and was this close to a Super Bowl ring last year. I'd like to see him get another crack at it, so I guess I'll root for the Falcons.
He's already being sized.
Oh, my God. I was already thinking, man, that Super Bowl last year, because we had him on the week of the game, you know, from the field at the Super Bowl, and I was thinking, man, you know, we're going to get Satolovich into town. He's going to bring us the Super Bowl ring and show it to us and everything. And then, so, I don't know.
It was still a good Super Bowl.
It was a great Super
great
Bowl.
Super Bowl.
I felt bad for him, you know.
Right.
I'd like for him to have a Super Bowl ring. So I guess I'll root for the Falcons.
But you know what? Maybe it still hurts, but it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
True.
That's right.
Let me deal with a Super Bowl loss
yeah.
at some point in my life as opposed to never sniffing that game.
Right.
Never taking a just a whip. I have no idea what it smells like. What's it smell like? Can someone tell me?
Nope.
I think about that all the time because of how big Super Bowl week is for us. Like, we send people to the Super Bowl, Radio Row, all this stuff. And we get so fired up for it in this town, and we're never even in it. I mean, just
what
imagine.
Do you mean? They haven't made it?
You know what I mean? Like,
this is revelation. Wait, we're never even in this thing.
I just
thing.
Mean, like, what? You can't even picture.
We're not even close.
I mean, yeah, you can't even picture how delirious this town would be.
No.
Mm-mm.
I can't.
If we had a Super Bowl week, like the whole lead up.
How about an AFC championship?
I can't picture it.
I mean, I've at least seen that. Of course, they're growing
kind
of.
Did you remember kinda. Anything about it? You remember
no,
any?
Not really.
I remember my father being furious when Joe Montana's head got taken to the turf.
Yeah, I mean,
just
I'm
furious.
I remember
cheaters.
Watching the game.
Those damn cheaters.
I was watching the game at Anthony Gialdi's house. Caesar was there. And then in the fourth quarter, we started screaming at each other.
About Kimball Anders?
No, about Joe Montana.
Well, now I feel bad for withholding Konzo Martin sound from you. So here's Konzo Martin on Georgia's win.
Oh boy.
Georgia's win?
You know,
over
Georgia.
He was trying to.
It's a physical, tough team. A team that really makes you work to score. That's one thing I do with them about Georgia's teams. Physical, make you work, grind you out. Nothing easy. But once we settle in, late in the first half, and in the second half, just really set a tone for us, make some adjustments. One of those tough games, coming off a tough, tough game. Unfortunately, the league play, you don't have a lot of time to turn around. You got to get rolling. So I was happy to see all guys bounce back.
He couldn't even play the Konzo Martin sound clean. He had to say, Georgia's win.
Yep.
Win over Georgia.
That's right. Missouri beat Georgia.
Beat Georgia. It's a good win.
To add to their
it's a good win.
Heartbreak. Well, yeah, it was a good win. Georgia was 2-1 and 11-3 coming into the game, and Jontay Porter played a career high 32 minutes, got his first career start, and had a double-double with 15 points and 10 boards, and was very, very good. Was very good.
Kevin Puryear finally had at least a decent game. I know he's kind of struggled lately.
Kevin Puryear came off the bench for the first time. He was replaced by Porter in the starting lineup, and he had a sequence where he hit a three. He had a terrific move to the basket that got him all fired up, and they need him. They really, really need him. And that was a nice adjustment by Konzo Martin to put Jontay Porter into the starting lineup, Puryear off the bench. And look, everyone was talking about, and he's been really, really good. Yante Mayton, who's the senior big man for Georgia, he's been fantastic. He's been one of the best players in the conference. I mean, last four games, he dropped 30 against Temple, 17 against Kentucky. He had 15 against Ole Miss. He had 26 against Alabama in their recent win. And Jontay Porter, for the most part, guarded him all night long and held him to 9 points and 2 rebounds. A guy that had gone for 30-12, 17-12, 15-7, 26-11 against Alabama. And he held him to 9-2. So Jontay Porter not only had his first career start, played a career-high 32 minutes, had 15 points and 10 rebounds, but he did one hell of a job defensively on one of the best players in the SEC, who had just put up 26-11 against Alabama and 17-12 against Kentucky. So Jontay Porter was terrific. And Mizzou wins, and now they will play at Arkansas on Saturday at 5 o'clock, Mizzou wins 68-56. Congratulations to Kansas State for getting their victory at home over Oklahoma State, led by a great night from Barry Brown with 38 points. All kinds of good stuff. And a very emotional victory for Texas over TCU last night in double overtime. So fun night in college basketball last night in the Big 12 and the SEC. We'll take a break. Laura Sanko is going to be in studio to talk about the UFC Fight Night card in St. Louis on Sunday night, featuring the James Krause and also Laura Sanko, who's going to be part of the broadcast crew doing interviews during UFC St. Louis on FS1. Also, Zach Cummings will be on the card representing the KC area on Sunday night. Mike DeCourcy will talk college basketball with us at 9:05, a little bit of a different time for Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. So tune in at 9:05, and every school is closed. So there's your school closings. Here are the following schools that are closed today, all of them. So
my kids are going to be confused when they wake up this morning because they were already asleep by the time the news came out last night. And they're going to wake up and realize there's no school, but there's also no snow.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. They're going to be a little confused.
I can tell you who was roaming around the house at about 4:45 a.m. Hey, have you heard anything from St. Pius about... I said, all I hear from your mom is how impossible it is to get you out of bed.
Right.
To get your feet on the ground at around 6:45 every morning or whenever she tries to get you up.
Yep.
And it's 4:45, and you're chasing me down the hall. Hey, what have you heard? Did you get an email? So let me tell you something. You better get back in your bed and not let your mom hear how you just jumped out of bed at 4:45 to check into this thing, because there will be some hollering going, oh, okay, all right, thanks. Instead, I called him on the way to school because I got the official message of no school. Very happy.
Oh, yeah.
Very pleased. Very pleased. With him. You know, he's looking at, oh, yeah, that's good because, you don't want mom driving in the ice, and I'm glad. Is that who you're happy for? You're happy for mom?
Consider a kid.
I don't want, it's dangerous when there's ice, and I mean, you get a lot of experience. You driving in ice at 14, Phil. I want everyone to be happy. Yeah, all right, then go back to bed. They will try to make it out, perhaps, to Tequila Harry's later on. I'm going to be there from 11 to 1. I'll tell you more about that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Later on, we'll debut some new Jack White music, as Jack White will be coming out with a new CD. I'll say it, a new album. He puts it on vinyl still, thank you. Released two songs off his upcoming album, and as many people know, Jack White is my fave.
Little taste.
Still the best concert I've been to in the last, I don't know, whatever number of years you want to put on it, the Jack White concert at Midland. Yeah, give us some of that. Did you listen? I texted the song to both of you.
Inappropriate comments.
Did you?
I did.
Okay, did you listen to it?
I listened to it once, yes.
Both songs?
I guess I just listened to the first song.
Second one's better.
You didn't listen to this one?
Mm-mm.
This is the better one.
Yeah, I agree.
Lebo loved it. Lebo sent a very specific emoji after listening to the song, which perhaps was as offensive as the text that I sent before. I don't know. You'd have to ask.
You tried to match it.
You'd have to ask Jake. Which offended him more.
Neither.
But while Jack White plays in the background, this is Respect Commander. Do you command respect?
No.
Well, you need to. You need to listen to this song and be a respect.
I try. Maybe if I listen
commander.
To the song, I'll learn
right.
how.
Today, you might have the kids on your hands now because the kids are home from school.
Yeah, my wife and I've been trying to plan that out today. How are we gonna handle that?
Where can I take them to lunch?
Oh yeah.
Where? Well, I'll tell you where. Today I'll be at Tequila Harry's. Weather's not gonna keep me from there. 11 until 1 at Tequila Harry's on the corner of College and Corvira in Overland Park. Two specials to choose from. You can get the giant Rio burrito with sides and drink for just $8.10, or you can get two tacos with a side for only $4.81. Great deal today at Tequila Harry's on the corner of College and Corvira in Overland Park. Tequila Harry's, today, two specials with me, SSJ, from 11 until 1 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
She commands my respect. She commands my respect. And I can't recollect a better time in my life. She has all my respect. She has all my respect. And I cannot protect my heart from her command.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Connected by Love that actually had a video release with it yesterday by Jack White. Thank you. I sat in my car by myself and listened to these songs repeatedly. Weirdo. And again, last night, Mizzou beats Georgia 68-56, moving to 2-1. And let me tell you something. That was important, the way they responded after that very difficult, heartbreaking loss to Florida over the weekend. Because you never know how a team's going to respond. And they responded very well. Now, they came out, and they were cold. And they did not play very well. They're not shooting well offensively. They look stagnant. But they can, whatever Konzo Martin did at halftime, do it again, Konzo. Do it all the time, because they came out on fire in the second half and put Georgia away, outscoring Georgia 48-33 in the second half. They scored 20 in the first half and 48 in the second half. So slightly better offensive performance in the second half for the Tigers, as they are now 2-1 in the conference. Florida 4-0. If they win that game, Missouri's 3-0, and they're in first place in the SEC. Instead, they're a game behind. Still, they're 2-1. The only other unbeaten team, Auburn. Auburn 3-0, and many people, the team that many people picked to win, if they weren't picking Kentucky, they were picking Texas A&M, they are 0-4 in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So, not expected to go that way, but a lot of season left, but Mizzou in a good spot to start off. They are 2-1 right now, ready to play at Arkansas. Did you see that last night? You see that result?
I did.
Oh no! That is not a good loss. And I don't know. I guess there's sometimes no correlation, but I don't know if you feel great about playing Arkansas after they have a befuddling loss at home.
I think throughout my career, I always did.
He did.
I always did. Appreciate and I patronize all the people there.
Thank you.
In Columbia.
Thank you. Well, he did not patronize the people in Arkansas last night, as Arkansas loses at home to LSU 75-54. Will Wade, the new head coach at LSU, looking good. So big, big win for LSU on the road last night. And so, and in the Big 12, of course, as we mentioned, Kansas State getting the win at home against Oklahoma State. Got to win that game. Can't lose a game like that at home, especially since K-State's already dropped a game at home. Similar situation for both Mizzou and K-State last night. Already having a home loss on the books. Can't drop another one. So K-State did what they had to do, winning 86-82 over Oklahoma State. And Barry Brown again, 38 points.
Yeah, he was terrific.
38 special.
Yeah. I thought, yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Man. A special 38, a 38 special for Barry Brown going downtown and all the way around. What?
I also thought a really good performance by Cartier DeJara, the guard who stepped in for Kamau Stokes, who is out indefinitely with some sort of apparently a foot injury. I thought that was going to be a big loss for K-State because their scoring kind of all comes from their perimeter players, and, you know, Kamau Stokes is one of those guys, but Cartier stepped in and had a good day with 17 points yesterday. So that was, to me, that was big development for K-State.
And much like we didn't expect A&M to be at the bottom of the SEC standings, based on the non-con, I don't think we expected TCU and Baylor to be 1-3 tied with Oklahoma State after last night's games, and then Iowa State, of course, 0-4 at the bottom. We kind of expected that. But you know what? They've been in three games with a chance to win. A couple of overtime losses and then the loss to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Eric Bieniemy is officially now the new offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. That is a decision that I like. I like Eric Bieniemy a lot. I think he's an excellent football mind. I think he's a leader of men. I think that he has a tremendous amount of respect in that locker room. And I think he's shown that he's a hell of a coach with what he's done with that position group. Think of the different players that he's had a chance to coach. Has he turned Charcandrick West into a pretty good player? Better than you might have thought? I mean, there are plenty of people that were trying to cut Charcandrick West in the preseason. And he had some nice moments this year. Spencer Ware, a sixth-round pick that they claimed off waivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or just signed. Did he get a lot out of Spencer Ware before he got hurt?
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt looked pretty good.
Looked all right.
I mean, I just feel like he's done a lot of good with his running backs. And
C.J. Spiller?
I don't know. I don't know if he had a real chance to coach him, to really get him.
I mean, had him a day here, a day there, you know.
Let's hear from Eric Bieniemy here.
I made Jake laugh. That never happens.
He talked
that's good, Nate.
He talked about, was responding to a question whether he thinks the offense will change with him as coordinator.
One thing I will say is that today is day one, and obviously we're still getting through the fact that we had a tough loss this weekend, and obviously we're just trying to make sure we get past that, but also looking at the things that we did a great job of this season and all the accomplishments that we made on this side of the ball.
Here, Eric Bieniemy talks about, as running backs coach, how involved he was with the offensive game plan the previous couple of seasons.
We touched, obviously, every part of the game plan, and so I had an impact on basically all the things that we were responsible for. So it wasn't like anything that's new, you know. Hey, we got to know exactly what's going on. We got to be thoroughly immersed in the game plan. So I've had an opportunity to be a part of all the groundwork that takes place behind the scenes.
Do you expect Andy Reid to call the plays, or do you have interest in doing that?
You know what? Today is day one. I'm excited about getting in here today with the new title and the new responsibilities. I'm sure me and Coach Reed will have that discussion down the line.
Here's Eric Bieniemy talking about Alex Smith.
Well, you know, Alex has done a tremendous job for us since he's been here. Obviously, one thing that I'll speak to is his professional work ethic. He has an unbelievable work ethic, and he's done a great job of just laying the foundation for many players around the building to learn from, and just watching him and how enthusiastic and how involved he was in everything that he did, you know, really, it not only basically taught younger players, but also had an infectious behavior on coaches as well. And that's one thing that I love about Alex.
And finally, here Eric Bieniemy talks about Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I would tell you this. Pat has come in here. Obviously, he's a great young prospect. And the thing is we spend all of our time with these guys equally together. And so I get excited about seeing everybody in the building each and every day. But I think the kid is a tremendous, talented kid. And I think one thing that moving forward, he's done a great job of just being himself and just being professional.
I think he should be our starting quarterback right now, right this second.
Whoa, breaking news.
Right now. Let's go, Mahomes. All right. All right, bye, everybody. Gotta go.
Back after this on WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. Stay safe out there on the streets, but keep listening to the show right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.